T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by EOC Audio, Chicagoland's leader in audio, video, networking, and home automation, EOCAudio.com.
Hello, darling. How are you?
Cody Decker.
Did you miss me?
Ex-unprofessional professional baseball player.
The old men crew coming out. Well, back in my day, I only made $750. Guess what? I only made $750, and it was 8 years ago. You played in the 70s, you moron.
Former major leaguer.
We've never really taken your temperature on Field of Dreams. So Craig
Terrible Cowan. Movie. Unwatchable.
Yes! Co-host of The Carton Show on FS1.
They're going to win a lot of baseball games this year. Probably 100, maybe. Give or take 5 or 4 or 3 or 2 or none. Probably 100. I think they're going to win 100.
Cody Decker with Bernstein and Holmes
on The Score.
Let's talk some baseball with former MLBer Cody Decker. He is on Twitter at Decker6, co-host of The Carton Show on FS1, and a regular guest on these airwaves. He joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, and good friends of Cody Decker. And he is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Dak, what's up?
Oh, you know, Dan, just living the dream, baby. How are you?
I'm good. The weather's been good here. Cooled off a little bit, but still absolutely lovely, if a bit dry. When we were watching Michael Kopech yesterday and just seeing essentially a major league pitcher spotting his fastball however he wanted, and you could tell early by the reactions of the hitters, like, whew, we could be in for it today. What does it feel like to just not be able to hit a fastball sometimes? And everybody's like, dude, I don't know. Good luck with that when you get back to the dugout.
It is a terrible feeling when you go back in, when your guy comes up to you and you strike out, you're walking back to the dugout. The guy's like, hey, man, what has he got? He's like, good luck. A lot. He's got stuff. And yesterday, what can you say? Kopech had stuff. He had stuff his last two outings. It's been a tale of two cities behind this guy. But man, his last two outings, he has looked like the superstar that he was touted to be years ago, finally coming into his own. I hope he keeps this going, because the White Sox need him. The White Sox have a lot of catching up to do right now after the terrible start that they had. But man, that lately, 8-2 in their last 10, they are playing some very good baseball.
They really are. And it's a stretch of even going back to 20 games, they're over 500. And frankly, that's all we can ask for right now, is to just keep this going for them. When it comes to Kopech in particular, Cody, what have you seen about maybe the things that we saw were flashes, and then being able to put it together in a successful manner? I'm not sure if it's a sequencing thing, if it's just his mechanics just being absolutely fabulous. That always helps, of course. Or if there's something else you're seeing, just what he's done to that fastball command to make it work so well in his last two.
I'm not sure what it is, whether it is what mechanics or whatever it is. It's just basically what you just said, command. The command of his fastball all of a sudden is what is making the paramount difference in his game. The fact that he's able to spot up the fastball, the fact that he's able to spot up corners of the fastball. Listen, he's got velocity and movement on his fastball that if he could just put it where he wants, like Dan mentioned, the guy is borderline unhittable. The problem is he runs into command issues, and he always has. And the fact that he's kind of losing that right now, hopefully he can continue to build on this. Hopefully the entire pitching staff can continue to build on this, because Lucas Giolito's been looking pretty good. Dylan Cease is coming back into looking like Dylan Cease again. And hey, Tim Anderson had an RBI single yesterday. I'm looking for TA to become TA again. This is a team that, again, on paper, I said it ad nauseum for the last couple of years, on paper, this should be a playoff team. This should be a contending baseball team. And hopefully they've gotten through their growing pains enough now that maybe they're going to win enough games. But as we currently stand, as you know, I mean, they're still 5.5 behind the Twins, who are not having a dominant season themselves.
The other subject of our conversation today, well, one of them was the return of Kyle Hendricks tonight. And in the last couple of years, when healthy, he's been okay. And he's, you know, we just know the margin for error now is more striking than ever. And he's more of an anachronistic pitcher than ever because of how hard everyone throws and all those sorcerers out there. Do you think he loses a bit of an advantage with every other pitcher working quickly due to the play clock, the fact that he doesn't look that different if he's going to try to pitch with a little faster rhythm?
No, I really don't. I think that actually kind of plays into his thing. Not necessarily that it makes it any better for him, but I don't think it actually affects him in a negative way. He's going to go out there and he's going to pound the zone. He's going to get quick outs. That's what he does. Now, if he can just be the same guy that we've always seen, that's great. But, you know, coming off of what he's come off of, I am so excited to have him back. I know that clubhouse is excited to have him back, but I'm not sure which version we're going to get of Hendricks. So hopefully we get the version that we used to love, but man, it's tricky. It's like we never really know. That's the thing about being a White Sox fan, it seems like. You really have no idea what you're getting on a day-to-day basis. But there is also kind of an excitement to that in a way, isn't there?
Oh, yes, sure. Yeah, not knowing what you're going to get. I have that enough in my daily life. Consistency out of athletes is the goal. Cody, also, when it came to the Cubs game last night, just some strong performances out of people, whether it was Marcus Stroman. I even liked what Seiya Suzuki's done, especially the last couple of weeks. It's not just Chris Morel that is helping them win the games that they have won recently.
Mm-hmm. You know, calling up Mervis was a good start to everything. Then, of course, Morel has been an absolute revelation since he's been up. The power numbers that he's put up, the on-base that he's been putting together. But Marcus Stroman has kind of been an unsung hero. This is a guy that's going out and pitching together some very good outings for the Cubs. They called up a guy named Mike Tauchman, who I'm a big fan of Mike Tauchman,
ex-teammate
of mine. Yes, used to play with him at the Colorado Rockies organization, played against him a lot. Extremely talented guy.
Tell us about
really
him. That's what we need to know about him.
Okay, well, he's a good, solid outfielder, but he's very good. He puts the bat on the ball, doesn't strike out much, gets the ball in play a lot. He's got a little bit of power, but he kind of just does everything really, really well. He's just a good baseball player. You put him in your lineup, you're a better baseball club. He just is that kind of guy. In the outfield, he plays a solid outfield, and I really am excited to see him get another opportunity in the big leagues. I kind of felt like he didn't get the opportunity he deserved in the Yankees. He never really got a shot with the Rockies, and then the Giants. So I'm not sure what happened over there, but man, if he gets an opportunity over here, he can help this team win some baseball games. Listen, the Cubs are not necessarily out of anything here. Both Centrals are not good divisions. The Brewers are a catchable team if the Cubs decide to do something. And the Cubs are not a bad baseball team. You mentioned Seiya Suzuki. Hey, if he's healthy and on the field, this is a team that can feasibly compete right now if they get a couple of extra arms. You never know what could actually happen around the trade deadline.
So, I actually thought that Mike Tauchman was going to start major league season with the big league club. Like, I thought he was going to be there on opening day. Kind of surprised he wasn't. I also feel, Cody, that he added a texture to the Yankees lineup. I don't even know if that makes sense with the way I'm saying it, but I think you know what I'm putting down.
I will tell you this. Mike Tauchman's definitely a different cat.
Like, consistent hits, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's a good ball player. He gets the bat on again, he just puts the bat on the ball. He's a good ball player. He's an interesting cat. You know, a lot of guys, he's got that type A type of personality. I happen to really like him. I love him on the field. And like you said, he should have probably broke camp with this team. But listen, at the end of the day, in today's day and age of Major League Baseball, with the high strikeout rates we get, if you got a guy that consistently puts the ball in play, he's a guy that can be very good for your ball club.
You mentioned Seiya Suzuki, by the way. He's very quietly, low key, 137 WRC plus, slugging 500. Like, this is, he's playing to expectations right now, and that really changes their lineup when you know you've got to deal with him with guys on base.
This team's got right-handed power. It's got an abundance of right-handed power. If the lefties can kind of step up a little bit, obviously, I already mentioned Matt Mervis. Now, Matt Mervis isn't the guy that's going to put you guys over the top as of right now. Maybe that'll be in the case of the next couple of years. But he is a guy that if he gets his bat going a little bit, this guy can actually help you out a lot. I've talked to a lot of front office guys in Major League Baseball. They're big believers in Matt Mervis, as they should be. The guy's got a lot of power. He hits the ball hard, and he plays a pretty decent first base. And, you know, all around that entire field, Seiya Suzuki, if he's healthy and on that field, your team is better. If Marcus Stroman is eating innings the way he is doing against the Mets lineup like he did last night, this team has a chance to legitimately go places. Now, they're not going to make a deep playoff run, But again, the NL Central is a very winnable division. You got the Brewers at the top. You don't know what the Cardinals are going to be going forward. They got a lot of catching up to do, not unlike the White Sox. And the Pirates and the Reds are the Pirates and the Reds, and they will remain the Pirates and the Reds no matter what they try to do.
Yeah, I think that's the rub when it comes to how to figure out how to think about the division. And it's not the Cubs are going to play them a bunch and they can take advantage of that. It's still however, you're competing against them for best record amongst that group.
Yes. Not to mention that on top of that, you got to keep in mind, they changed the structure of this season. It's right. Competitively right. Balanced season. So everyone's facing each other. So like you said, the idea of just beating up on the Central isn't going to be capable anymore for the teams in the Central. Quite frankly, everyone else is beating up on the Central. So really the only way to get into the playoffs is to win your division. You can't look at this NL Central division and not say, hey, the Cubs can't win this. The Cubs could absolutely win this.
Why has Trey Turner not been good?
God, I have no, I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea. Trey Turner is the best shortstop in Major League Baseball. And for whatever reason, he has been absolutely garbage this season. Trust me. And that's not me saying that. You could ask him. Oh. He will tell you he has been garbage this season. No, the guy's incredible.
And it's almost like he needs to talk about it. He's finding every notepad and every microphone he can find and just like flagellating himself for his below average play.
And keep in mind, they have the best hitting coach in Major League Baseball in Kevin Long. And what's amazing is Kevin Long, these last 2 years, he's gotten his hands on Trey Turner this season and the season before. He had his hands on who? Nick Castellanos, both which guys did not have very hot starts to their tenure with the Phillies. But then again, Trey Turner did play with him over there with the Nationals. So it's not like a Kevin Long thing. It's just something's got to give. There seems like every time a free agent goes over to Philly, they forget how to hit for about 4 months.
I think it's a combination of factors. Hear me out on this. Number one, sometimes hitter-friendly parks can mess with people's heads because they think that they can just like hit stuff everywhere out all the time, right? That's a thing. And then also, the Philly fans, if you embrace it to a certain extent, I wonder if that negative message kind of gets to you even though you're being self-aware.
It might be. It's a weird scenario over in Philly. I've had the luxury of never playing in Philly, so I never had to quite deal with it. But I have a lot of friends that did. And yeah, that's a tough town to go and play poorly in. Listen, Trey Turner is going to be perfectly fine. This guy is going to put up numbers. But to your other point that you said about a hitter-friendly ballpark, that'll actually help your point. I thought for sure Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would have 24 home runs by now because the Rogers Center moved in their fences at every single spot by 10 feet. And yet he's having lower power numbers this season than he's had in the last couple of years. There could be something to that hitter-friendly ballpark, what that does to a hitter's mindset, especially if they got a little bit of power.
And the reason I say that is because of when I would talk to visiting teams and players that I knew would come to Minute Maid Park, they were like, oh, yeah. You get real happy when you see 315 down the left field line, but then you focus on the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it does mess with your game a little bit because you get mentally greedy.
I played with a guy named Willie Mo Pena, if you remember Mo Pena.
Big power.
Willie Mo had maybe the most pop of any human being who ever lived. And when he got traded over to the Boston Red Sox, we all laughed going like, oh my God, can you imagine what that guy's going to do to the Green Monster? He completely forgot how to hit a baseball for the entire Red Sox tenure he was there. And it was that Green Monster. Short porch and left. Oh, I'll get on the plate and drop absolute bombs. Could not do it. It absolutely affects a hitter. Not all hitters, but it definitely affects hitters.
There are some people who are able to play to their park. And off the top of my head, number one is Alex Bregman.
Mm. Oh, yes.
When you see how he knows where those Crawford boxes are at his swing, and I don't have the metrics in front of me to look at all the trajectories of some of the balls that he hits, but his swing path, his timing, everything looks to me like he is playing to his park.
Another guy that I'll give you the same exact example, and I agree with you right out the gate that it's kind of cheating considering who the guy is, but you can't deny that Aaron Judge knows how to hit home runs in Yankee Stadium just about better than anyone in the world, especially over the short porch and right. That plays so well to his strength because the way he hits opposite field home runs, he has a little bit of fade on it, and because he's so strong, that short porch and that fade just works perfectly well for him to hit opposite field home runs all day long.
Oh, yeah, it's a lovely thing. when you see a team get a hitter who is perfectly built for that ballpark and that it actually works out to that favor. When Tim Anderson's on, too, I feel like right field for him, even though it sounds counterintuitive, at Guaranteed Rate Field is also like one of those places where he's hitting for the ballpark.
Oh, Tim Anderson, I think, truly is one of the best young infielders in Major League Baseball. I'm sorry that he's off to a terrible start so far, but this guy's going to be perfectly fine by the end of this season. That is, of course, if he remains a White Sox towards the end of this season. Let's not pretend that the White Sox, if they don't turn this season around, which they have as of late, this is a team that is going to be shipping off a lot of its players.
Oh, so you, where are you sitting on this? Like, you've done a lot of betting shows. How confident are you in this being a thing at the trade deadline?
Confident?
What's your level right now?
Right now, I am not even looking at it at the moment because this team is in a bad division. This team could very much compete in this bad division if they keep things going. We could be talking like a 2019 Nats thing. Now, I know that's a high pipe dream a little bit because that is the team that did win the World Series, but that was a team that was like 12-36 at one point of that year and ended up boat racing everybody in Major League Baseball. That could happen for the White Sox, and if they are still competing by the trade deadline, absolutely not. Don't sell anybody and go for everything you can to win this division. If it seems that you're out of it, you got to do what you got to do. You got to move Lucas Giolito. You got to move Tim Anderson. You got to move anything that's not bolted to the ground and start preparing for next season.
Okay, so I'd say that's like a 3% confidence. That's where that is.
I will give it about a 25% confidence.
Okay, that's fair.
There it is.
For now.
Cody Decker, have a great Memorial Day weekend, man. Thank you.
No, you guys have a great Memorial Day because I said you should.
How about we all do?
No, fine. Everybody.
Everybody should. There it is. Cody Decker, brought to you by Grainger, the official partner of the Chicago Cubs and Wrigley Field. Find supplies and solutions for every industry at Grainger.com. Justin Fields talked. And we haven't heard from him. I think that's negligence on our part as a Chicago sports radio station.
We've heard Justin and
the station did it. We haven't. Yeah, we just played bits and pieces.
As a market, we've heard bits and pieces from Justin Fields. Nah, let's give the people what they want. More Justin Fields all at one time.
I also love the fact that so many people who see him for the first time are having the same reaction. Have you noticed this?
What do you mean?
The new teammates or people who are joining the Bears, rookies, there's been a commonality in what they're saying.
Oh, yeah, like Tremaine Edmonds, for example, who talked.
What did he say?
They just talked about how they were happy to be on the same team and how hard he works. Wait.
What is the one thing if you've been hearing a common refrain, I didn't realize he was blank?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that quick. I didn't realize he was that. They're all saying, I didn't realize he was so big.
Yeah, that tall.
And I wonder why he people think he's smaller than he is. Is that just because of how he moves that they think he's going to look more like Kyler Murray?
Deceptive pad level, baby. That's how he runs.
Yeah,
it
might be that too. That's been the commonality. I can't believe the guy is as big as he is.
That's the lean. That's what we talk about.
We will hear from the Bears quarterback next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Odyssey Station.
Tremendous athlete. Obviously he's a lot bigger than I thought he was. Obviously I played against him last year, but, seeing him every day, hard worker, leader. You can see that he makes guys around him better. and just, you know, he leads from the front, you know what I mean? And, you know, his work obviously speaks for itself. And just seeing him, you know, go out there every day, grow, develop, and, you know, spread the ball around and just, you know, his thinking, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm seeing it firsthand and, you know, I'm excited. And, you know, they got a lot of good things going on the offensive side. And, you know, with his leadership and the way that he lead and obviously his playmaking ability, I mean, it's something to be excited for sure.
That'll get you going a little bit, won't it? Bears middle linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. I keep reminding myself, the Bears have Tremaine Edmonds as their middle linebacker.
Yeah, that's some beast mode right there.
But I love that line, he leads from the front. What does that sound like it means?
What does that sound like it
means? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to say, well, leads from the front. Is
like he's front and center? Like he's talking to people?
Does that mean he does it and you watch him do it, that there's some sense of he can say certain things because he's also doing those things? That's what it means to me. That it's not merely leads by example. It is, he can say, look, I'm doing this and this is, and I'm playing this hard, or I'm this focused, I'm this careful, I'm this aware, I'm this well studied, and therefore I expect you to be also. That's what it means to me.
Ah, that's good. I mean, it's a cool phrase and one that I'm going to listen to him say more, hopefully, throughout the season, so you know what he means by it. And also just like the fact that he wears number one, like he's telling you who he is. He, I feel like, speaks when he's asked to speak. Like, he takes on that responsibility. I know we talked yesterday with Jason Leisure about who he is in a week leading up to a game and then who he is after the game. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's what we talked about with the prevention of just, is something I say going to be a distraction for me before this game? If I say something that is not exactly what I mean, which, face it, that happens to all of us, for Dan and I, many times an hour on this show. So you can understand why I think for him, he goes about his business the way he does. But I think he's also saying he goes about his business.
Yeah, I think that he's, that Fields to this point, and I know it's all, this year is different. This year matters in a different way. The outcomes of games matter in a different way. The expectations are higher, but I think he's done a nice job in his young career of balancing seriousness of his job with still playing the game joyfully and exuberantly.
Just, yeah, dance more. That's a rule for all of us. That's all I ask.
I think he should. I mean, he's a hell of a dancer. Right? Yeah. Don't just waste that occasional weight room video.
Flow State, Marcus Stroman, dance more.
There's a video that was making the rounds yesterday of Nikola Jokic dancing. And it was just basically, it was 2 minutes of Nikola Jokic just being silly. It's hilarious.
Nikola Jokic lives the life. Did you also see the video where he couldn't get the shirt on for the Western Conference Championships?
No.
That's something we can ask Mike Singer about today. Okay, Mike Singer, who also worked with Arturis Karnišovas in Denver, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we're having him on for both.
That's 1 o'clock. But for now, let's hear from the Bears quarterback, shall we? Because Justin Fields met with the media and answered every question.
Were there parts of this offseason you thought the Bears could take a quarterback at number one? And did that go through your mind, what that can mean for you in the future?
No, not really.
What did it mean for you that they did make these investments, guy like DJ, for example, investments around you and your future? From your seat, what was it like watching that and the belief that they showed in you?
I mean, you know, it's awesome for me, you know, just getting that trust from the coaching staff. And, you know, you guys don't see it, but, you know, we communicate all the time. We trust each other fully. So, yeah, just having them behind me. They know the kind of leader I am, you know, to my teammates. They know how great I want to be. They know the work I put in. So, you know, it's just great to have them behind my back for sure.
Tyler Tolbert said that with this group of receivers, it's maybe different from last year, that they don't have to search to see who can do what. And they're not trying to guess, hey, this guy might be a slot guy, this might be better, better on the outside. What does that do for you, having guys that are here now? You're not guessing, hey, this I might be having.
I think it helps the receivers, if I'm honest. So, You know, of course, DJ's number one. He's going to play the X. So instead of them having to move around, you know, they can just focus on their position. Of course, they're going to have to know the whole concept and stuff like that. But it's going to be good for them just, you know, knowing their route, knowing their job, you know, getting guys to do, you know, to run certain routes and that they can get good at so that they can practice at. So I think it's good for them, you know, and it'll just be more consistent for them running the routes and, you know, more consistent for me throwing to them. So, yeah.
Justin, the Bears have surrounded you with better offensive players this mm-hmm. offseason. By league rule, you can get a contract extension at the end of this season. Mm-hmm. Is this a really big year for you coming up in terms of your development? And do you think of it in those sorts of terms?
In sorts of terms of what?
Of, oh my God, big year. Like we got, you know.
I think every year's a big year. Every year's a big year. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's, I don't really have anything to, you know, expand on that. But for me, every year's a big year, and I'm excited to show.
With the contract in particular, the stakes are high.
With the what?
With the contract in particular.
I'm not worried about contracts. I'm worried about wins. I could care less. So, yeah.
You've done a lot of it right now. At the start of OTAs this year as opposed to the way you felt last year? Or
yeah, for sure. You know, it's the first, you know, season I'm going into where it's, you know, my second year knowing the offense. So definitely feel, you know, more comfortable in it just with my reads and stuff like that. You know, just seeing what the defense is doing and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's truly amazing when you just have that feeling going in, kind of, you know, knowing where your guys are going to be, more comfortable with the footwork stuff. So, you know, it's been great. Got to work on stuff in the off season of, you know, what I need to work on and stuff like that. So, yeah, just having that, you know, second year experience from last year and stuff like that, just with the same offense, it's great.
How does it feel about the fact that the team basically expressed their confidence in you? They could have drafted a quarterback, but they said no. They're putting it all behind you.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I answered this question earlier, but it's a great feeling. Like I said before, you know, it's just great, you know, having that feeling. Like I said, the coaches, you know, trust me, I trust them, and you know, everybody in the building knows, you know, the kind of leader and person I am. So, you know, I'm just excited to be able to lead this team and to be able to reach new heights. So, yeah.
Justin, as a leader, do you feel any responsibility or role in trying to make sure guys are here for this voluntary part of the program?
No, not really. I think the only guys that need to be here are the new guys and, you know, the younger guys to learn the offense. But, you know, vets and stuff like that, if they prove themselves on the field, especially in the system, I mean, all we care about is showing up, you know, during the season. So, yeah, guys like Jalen, we know what he can do on the field. He's proved it many times versus, you know, top receivers. So, you know, not really worried about it too much.
That's a confident Justin Fields. Sounds good to me. And as we talked about with Jason Leisure, I like the fact that he'll ask a follow-up to make sure he's answering the question he thinks is being asked and that everything is in the proper context. I say good for him. I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted because apparently Southpaw's mad at me. I don't need this today. I don't need this today. This everything.
It is a fun hat, though.
No, I haven't seen the hat. Oh, I wasn't complaining about Southpaw, and I also didn't say anything about the knit hat. I just thought that a Sox Math winner got more than a Southpaw knit hat. That's all. And Southpaw tweets at me, if you want to complain about my knit hats, do it to my face.
I think he's inviting you to a game.
Well, of course I'd go to a game, but I'm certain it's an adorable hat.
It is a cute hat.
I'm sure. Have you seen it?
Yeah. Let me see if it's the one I think it is.
Okay, well, that's great. I didn't think that was the extent of the Sox Math victory prize. Cool. Awesome. Great. Great
hat.
That's
the point. You get a prize from the prize closet.
Chill out, Southpaw.
No, I like it. I retweeted Southpaw. What? Yeah. You get the little like tails on the side. They're it's cute. It's wearing a Sox hat. So the hat has a hat.
But why is Southpaw going to be such a red ass about it? I didn't say anything bad about the hat.
It
man.
Was awesome.
Come on.
He wasn't being a red ass. You were just acting guilty.
Well,
it's because of Sox Math, Dan. That's the thing.
This
you
hat's
came for
really
Sox
cute.
Math.
Southpaw doesn't participate in Sox
Have
Math.
Have you seen
but
that?
But he's part of the clearly he's a part of
they?
The prize giving.
They. Right?
They.
Southpaw.
Sorry.
I think they.
Sorry, Southpaw, they.
Does Southpaw publish their pronouns?
I'm going to look.
Okay.
Cuz well, I know we know Southpaw's a lefty.
I also know for a while Southpaw was a she.
All I know is Southpaw identifies as a fuzzy green dude.
Dude, okay. Dude is a he.
Dude is gender neutral.
Right. I think dude is gender neutral.
I don't know. I think dude means whatever.
I say dude all the time.
You say it, but you don't describe yourself as a dude.
Sometimes, just like dudes, hey, dude.
All right, Southpaw is a mascot Hall of Famer. There we go.
I know that.
Class of 2022. There we go.
I know that. And Staley should be soon, too.
Staley's up for election.
Yeah. Staley was here the other day hanging out, big fan of the show, signing autographs, making friends.
Yeah, he was campaigning.
Yeah.
The Southpaw hat's really cute.
Okay.
It's got the mouth on the front. So you're wearing a head of Southpaw.
Yeah.
So the mouth is on the front, and then the head of the hat is wearing a socks hat.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
You've got a hat wearing a hat. And then on either side.
Dude, I heard you like hats, so we put a hat on your hat.
And then on the other sides are like these two tails with little fuzz balls on the bottom. It's cute.
At some point, truth be told, I've got to have Southpaw apologize to my son.
What's the story?
Southpaw scared the bejesus out of him when he was three. Maybe, was he two? No, I think he was three. And we were walking on the center field concourse. It was one of his first games. It might have been his first Sox game. And I'm walking with him, holding his hand, and we're walking, and Southpaw's ahead of us, and Southpaw turns around. It was walking ahead of us, turns around and sees Jason and kneels down and spreads his arms out like, come give me a hug. And Jason's response was, and just jumped into my arms, completely terrified.
Aww.
And they're like, are you sure? And I said, oh, it's okay. And the Southpaw's like, oh, no. And so I said, are you sure you want to meet Southpaw? Like, no. And he's like burying his head in my shoulder. I'm like, no. I said, it's okay. Look, Southpaw wants. He's like, no, I don't want to. I'm like, okay. And that was, it was really, it was.
Kids and mascots, like kids and Santa or kids and the bunny.
Yeah, but sometimes they're in the right mood, or sometimes it's just there was something that kind of freaked him out. I don't know.
I could see why. I mean, Southpaw is pretty scary if you're a kid, I'd imagine.
If you're a little kid, I mean, it's just if you're an adult,
Southpaw wants to talk to you.
This big green furry thing turns with eyes, around. Yeah.
Making a lot of movements, dancing. I can see it.
I first met Southpaw at the NBC Sports Chicago studios for Bill Melton's birthday, and he brought carrot cake from the suites. That suite's carrot cake is bomb.
We had carrot cake at Gibson's last weekend.
That is also bomb.
It was like three bites of that. I'm like, okay, I'm. It's fantastic, and I'm good on carrot cake for several years.
Nope, not me.
Because I'm not a huge fan,
but at least a yearly thing.
I had to try it. Like that's
so good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And I told Staley, by the way, when Staley was here, I did tell Staley that I think he had one of the great mascot moments where the biggest thing a mascot can do is in a critical sports, memorable sports moment, outwardly embody the way all fans are feeling. And I think Staley's reaction to the Cody Parkey double doink was perfect. It was what all of us did. We all died a little bit. And he died on the field. Like Staley did, like the and fell over and was just like done.
Clutched his heart and fell over and died.
And we all did a little bit.
Matt Nagy was me in that. But in that
see, if you can't be in the Hall of Fame, if you can't, when you rise to the occasion on a moment like that, positively or negatively, I'll go to the Mascot Hall of Fame and I'll tell Dave Raymond himself. I'll make that case for him if he wants me to pound the table for him.
But I think you should also talk to Southpaw.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, we're good with mascots, right? Clark's a fan.
Yeah, Clark likes the show.
I know Clark likes the show.
Clark likes Parkins or has like a whole thing, back and forth thing with Parkins on Twitter too.
Clark loves the afternoon show.
Yeah, I miss watching Clark do that warm up thing with Zobrist because Clark can play. Seriously, Clark can throw and is a clearly played baseball at a relatively high level. Because if you really watch Clark move, there's some baseball skill there.
Benny's awesome. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time Hall of Famer, right?
Yes. Benny, there was a, I need to show you the video. There's me doing a stand-up at a Bulls game. I'm on camera for some hit during the game when I was their courtside reporter. And Benny's just got his arms out and he's twirling in circles behind me.
For no reason?
No, on purpose.
Right, we're just saying just to funny. Do it. Yeah. And no, 847, Leury Garcia is not yet in the Mascot Hall of Fame.
What the hell?
That's bogus.
but
why the stray?
But if you would like to nominate him, and maybe by the end of the year, Hanser Alberto as well. We have Hayden coming up. The story I promised you yesterday, I will bring you today.
The tease again, please.
Which is the bigger Yellowstone tourist idiot?
We have a contender to one of our city's physically largest treasures.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there. Out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It is high noon on a Thursday. So what did we talk about so far? Well, a lot of complimentary stuff about Michael Kopech. Sebi Zavala was awesome. He said, well, I just had to have him throw fastballs. And Jason Benet said, well, why? What was fastball? I said, well, nobody can hit it. Okay, then. And also Marcus Stroman, we talked about him talking about flow state and finding all of those things that Kopech himself talked about. Both pitchers being aware and unbothered. And where's my list?
The Sanker Sankin.
Focused, intentional, tolerant, unbothered, deliberate.
And that is a stark contrast to Olatasp.
And it is, saying it in different ways, too. Cody Decker had baseball thoughts, and we heard from Justin Fields.
It's time.
We got us a new dinosaur.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the Field Museum. And the name is really cool. Spinosaurus.
Sweet.
Yeah.
What kind of dinosaur?
You know what? People who don't have spines, they're not spinosauruses. He was a semi-aquatic predator for it. I don't think we have a gender on it.
This is the main bad...
What'd you say?
Excuse me. Main bad guy from Jurassic Park 3. The main bad dinosaur.
Was a spinosaurus?
Yeah. I understand if you never saw it, it's a bad movie.
So here's the challenge. It's 46 feet long.
Whoa.
With a crocodile-like snout and tail. And Sue's only 40 feet long.
Longest known terrestrial carnivore.
Hell yeah. So it's come to the Field Museum. And Sue's also there, as we know, mm-hmm. Sue the T-Rex. And it's bigger than Sue. How do you like that?
Oh, yeah, they got like a big sail on it, almost like... Oh, that's cool looking.
Spinosaurus, awesome.
It is known to have eaten
fish. Look
at
that beast. Hey, how you doing, guy? You look good.
It's yeah, like, yeah.
Now get Chonkosaurus there.
Chonkosaurus deserves to be at the Field Museum.
After, though.
I want Chonkosaurus to have his own habitat. I want him to have his own pool. He deserves all the things.
But then he should be at the aquarium, then. Field Museum is after they're dead.
Why can't you have both?
I think Chonkosaurus could be... Well, no, I want Chonkosaurus
to
live
free. The Field
Museum
is for sauruses.
I know, but dead ones.
Nope, we can do a lot.
You got to put Chonkosaurus in the Beast Hall of Fame.
Yes.
That's where you go.
And Chonkosaurus should...
the Chicago River might also be that.
Live free and hang out in his rusty chains. That's where he should be.
Chonkosaurus is metal.
And live his life. He is, literally. He's on rusted metal. He doesn't need like a chaise lounge. So you know what I find comfortable? A giant rusty chain.
Play the music. Play the music.
That's where that's Chonkosaurus. Like, where am I going to lounge around today? Yeah, I could find a log. Nah. Is there a rusty chain where I could just hang out for a while?
Yeah. Chonkosaurus is pretty metal. And so is Spinosaurus. Really all of the sauruses.
Wait, is
you look good. I'm real proud of you.
It makes a lot more sense to the metal, I'm not
going
to
lie. Jurassic Park 3, is that the one with Bill Macy and Taya Leone?
I don't know. I lost track.
Because I think
I stopped after two.
I think that one was good.
If you had said, is that the one with Jeff Goldblum, I would have said yes.
No. I think 3 was good. It was like a B movie. It was a little campy. It was a little self-aware. I'm trying to find out the dinosaurs.
It's the first one where they bring back Dr. Grant, right?
Southpaw, we found
him.
Wait,
why is Southpaw
there? He's doing yoga right now on the news.
You know what, Southpaw? If you can find your center and your inner peace from yoga, you shouldn't be busy yelling at me.
Wow, that was a pretty...
Wait, is he by my house?
That was a pretty quick
answer. Is! Wait a second, something's going on here. He's standing...
He's
going
to be waiting for you outside your house when you get home, Bernstein.
He is literally standing right in front of my house.
He's going to be waiting for you when you get home.
I'm calling Beth and Zoe because they're home and he's a little too close.
Have they seen the hat? I think they need to see the hat. They would probably side with him.
He's... Southpaw.
Oh, nice tree pose, Southpaw.
Southpaw.
You know your yoga. Okay. How did everything come together in such a bizarre manner just now? We talked about yoga with Marcus Stroman. Southpaw challenges Dan. Southpaw's outside of Dan's house doing yoga.
And
what the hell?
To go look at the TV closer.
Are we in the Matrix?
And Southpaw is going to be waiting for Dan Bernstein outside of his house, and he's going to open up a can of whoop-ass.
What is happening?
They.
Mitch didn't believe it. Mitch is coming in. Yes, Mitch, all of the things we talked about suddenly combined in this bizarre universe on WGN.
Yes. Yeah, if the camera were to just pan around, you'd be able to see my front porch.
Why? I'm not... Why is there socks yoga?
I don't know. But... So this is... Yeah, something's going on here. Something I'm not sure I like that Southpaw is... A little too close for comfort there.
How did everything in the show combine in one moment?
I don't know.
If a dinosaur walks through here right now,
seriously?
I'm going to be a little concerned.
Yeah, if Spinosaurus shows up, that's going
to
work.
Spinosaurus is showing up to the Field Museum.
I know, but he's not outside my house at least.
The Jurassic Park 3 cast, by the way, Sam Neill,
yeah.
Laura Dern,
okay.
William H. Macy.
It is Bill Macy. Is Taya Leone in it?
Taya Leone?
Yeah, that's
Jeff Goldblum.
It's good.
No, and
the only reason the main people are in it, there's like a couple of quick flashbacks. Like Laura Dern's in it for 2 seconds. When they call her, she's at home. She's not even there.
She doesn't even go here.
Hey, Mitch is saying that the White Sox reached out and they want to know if Beth and Zoe can bring Southpaw some lemonade.
That's adorable. I think they need to see the hat. You guys need to see the picture of the hat. It's really cute.
I should text them and see.
Okay, we also got an update. What? Melissa Bergamini, socks yoga is on Sunday the 4th.
Oh.
It's all come together.
There you go.
Yoga at the ballpark? Well, that seems nice.
All right, who's dumber?
Me.
Who's dumber? This is the time of year where people do stupid things at Yellowstone National Park.
Stop messing with nature.
Exactly. And,
seriously, that's it.
And there was the lady who was messing with a bison and tried to take a selfie with a bison and got herself knocked back like 50 feet in a concussion.
Bad.
There was the guy who tried to get into one of the hot springs, and he did get into the hot spring, and he didn't realize that it's 250-degree acid water, and he dissolved. He died instantly, and his body dissolved.
Also, like, it
there
didn't
were no remains.
Smell good. Why did you get it? Yeah.
But just now... On Saturday evening, an unidentified man disturbed a bison calf after it was separated from its mother and herd while crossing the Lamar River.
No.
The man pushed the calf up the river and onto the roadway, and officials were forced to euthanize the newborn bison calf because of the contact with a human being.
The bison, yeah, they rejected the calf, right? Because they smelled a human on him.
So they had to euthanize a baby bison because this guy decided he was going to push it out of a river.
That's terrible.
Okay, that's terrible.
He thought he was helping, but that was the exact opposite.
But you don't do that.
Yeah, they tell you there's a bunch of signs,
That's one. This is two. You be the judge. A man was caught on camera strolling right up to Old Faithful.
Oh, no.
Despite the noise of the wind, other visitors can be heard panicking and shouting at the man to turn back. Thankfully, he was uninjured and was escorted to safety by park rangers. Don't walk up to a geyser.
Did he think it was going to be like cartoons where you can just surf on the top or something?
I have no idea. So go ahead and place your votes. Guy who grabs bison calf, guy who tries to walk up to Old Faithful. Either one, is it a tie?
Well, one got an innocent bison killed.
That's true.
Terrible.
That's true.
Everybody's safe in the other one.
Yeah, I kind of rooted for this guy to actually walk into Old Faithful. Then he would have gotten Deathful.
That makes me so sad. Can we go back to socks yoga?
Yeah, I think they're done. I think socks yoga in front of my house is over.
Socks yoga went to your house.
Yeah, that's man.
In Chicago, socks yoga comes to you.
Socks yoga come to you.
And that is too many things combining at the same time.
And we don't have lemonade. So I couldn't, there's no way I could run
sure?
out.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we don't have
We've
lemonade.
We've conjured everything else. Why do we do that on this show?
We have.
You
we
remember
have,
when we conjured up a Jakeem Grant touchdown?
We have grapefruit flavored Spindrift.
That's good.
Does that go with yoga?
Sure.
Is that good?
Southpaw's going to be waiting for you. He's going to take whatever you got, Dan. Zoe, whatever's in your refrigerator.
I think Zoe has got some grapefruit-flavored White Claws.
Also, speaking of conjuring up
drink
things.
Drink my daughter's beer. Go ahead.
I don't think that's beer.
White Claw?
No, it's
neutral spirit
malt,
seltzer.
Malt
yes.
liquor?
It's
not a malt liquor. It's
nope.
a seltzer.
It's a seltzer.
Nope.
But
we are not combining Zima and White Claw. I mean, the vibe is the same sometimes, but no, they're two different things.
I got hammered on Zima once. That was that
we
was,
all have.
What year was this? Days.
This was 1993.
Whoa!
This was 93, and this was in the arena where the Columbus Horizon of the CBA played. And
Dan, the Horizon is not inside. It's really an outdoor thing.
They were called the Columbus Horizon. They were bad at basketball, and they had Chris Gent, the former Ohio State left-handed ginger. He's a good player. He was a pretty good player, but the Columbus Horizon. Yeah, the only reason was one of the people running one of the stands there had all this Zima, and
just happened to have
He was selling it. Nobody was buying it. Nobody was buying what he was selling. And after the game, when the arena's emptying out and I'm rolling out my radio equipment and the hotel was connected, it was a nice hotel, it was connected to the arena by a walkway. And he's like, hey, you want a bunch of this Zima? Like, I guess. He's like, here, take as much as you want. Nobody bought it, and I think we're not selling it anymore.
Do you want all this Zima?
Yeah, that's what he said. And I said, okay. So I just loaded up a bunch of it into my bag and went, walked away.
And then he like got to skip it, like skip down the street and then drink some Pepsi Clear.
Ugh. No, that I wouldn't touch. Okay, that is it for High Noon.
Do you want all this Zima?
They said, I said,
that's
sure.
That's going to stick with me for a while.
Because he had a Zima stand.
Hey, you can keep the Zima. I want more Bears.
Yeah, we got more Bears coming up. Dan Wiederer has Bears for you because he had some OTA thoughts, some observations, and maybe answer some questions.
We needed some eyes and ears, and we are bringing them to you from Bears OTAs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.